88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to start with screen time because most of you at this stage will have maybe seen or heard or been exposed to this campaign from CyberSafe Kids that's running today. They want everybody from between five and six, this evening to take an hour away from the screens, an hour of screen-free time. And they're doing it to highlight how often we spend or how much time we spend every day glued to our screens. And in conjunction with that campaign today, they've released research. About a quarter of 8 to 14-year-olds, so we're talking about young kids here, a quarter of 8 to 14-year-olds struggle to spend any time away from their screens. With me to discuss the implications, Fiona Jennings, who's Head of Policy and Public Affairs at the ISPCC, and Alan O'Donoghue, a parenting coach and author. You're both very, very welcome. And thanks a million for taking the time. Fiona, if I can start with yourself, from an ISPCC point of view, how big an issue in terms of child welfare is screen time?
Yeah, good afternoon, Kieran. Thanks for having us on. Yes, I suppose we look at screen time, I suppose, you know, through many lenses. And I suppose one key lens really is, you know, what are children doing online? So the quality of what they're engaging with online and on through their screens over the quantity. Because I think sometimes the quantity, it doesn't really tell us what children and young people are actually spending their time doing. And when we talk to parents about this, and even children and young people themselves, what their concerns are with. You know, sometimes their concerns are around it's impacting other things in their lives, or it's taking time away from other things in their lives, or sometimes they're not getting, I suppose, the content that they want to do, or the engagement that they want from it, and they feel that sometimes they might be mindlessly scrolling. So that would be, so if you want, the negative or the impact of it. But we also hear from them around the huge positives that screen time can have as well when it's used in an appropriate way, I guess.
Yes, that's interesting, because do you suspect then, or I mean, is it your assertion that the debate sometimes is a bit too simplistic just when we talk about screen time?
Oh, I think it is. If we're looking at screen time as in like the amount of time spent online versus what children and young people are actually doing versus what adults ourselves are even doing online. And that I think we do. I think it is a simplistic way of looking at it. And I think it's important to understand, you know, what the type of screen time that children and young people are engaging with. So the quality piece is really important to look at.
The quality then of what they are looking at. I mean, how tightly or badly controlled is that quality at the moment? Kind of from a parental point of view, from a school point of view, from a technology company point of view.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you kind of mentioned those three areas, because it's not just one area that that has issues with it or that's responsible for it. So from the, I suppose, the product development side of it, you know, we do have developers building products and services that children and young people engage with that commands, you know, a huge amount of their time and attention. So they do have a responsibility to keep them safe. So whether that's in the design of the product, how children play or engage with the product, and also as well, if something goes wrong, that there's a support or complaints handling piece there as well. So that's very much on the platforms. In terms of parents, parents can often struggle with engaging with these technologies, understanding what children like about them. So we would often try to support parents, you know, to be a little bit more proactive where they can and to try and figure out, you know, what is it about these products and services and games and apps that their children are playing with? What is it that they like about them? And almost kind of have that shared learning experience with them.
Alan O'Donoghue is with us as well, like I mentioned. Alan, if the discussions around screen time can sometimes, you know, lack a bit of nuance or too simplistic, if we look at it just as screen time in and of itself, I wonder, to a degree, are we guilty of lumping all kids in the same category here? You know, when we talk about protections needed, because it strikes me, even say when it comes to oversight, 8-year-olds are included in this survey today. The level of oversight you're going to need for your 8-year-old if they're on a screen is much higher than an 18-year-old. Though we kind of, you know, both might be described as children.
Yeah, you're right. And I think we need to look at it as we would look at any child through stages. So you're not letting your child go to a brand new shopping center on their own at 8 years of age and just letting them wander around for 3 or 4 hours. But you might let your 18-year-old or your 17-year-old. So I think we have to look at those stages. And what I think a lot of parents don't realize is that there are options available to them to get support to manage that process. So things like screen time, things like Family Link, we can set them up so that the apps are shut down at particular times, that there can be only X amount of time set aside so that we're not having to be constantly going to our children and saying, oh, it's time to get off, it's time to get off, it's time to get off. And on the flip side, then we can put monitoring software on our phones. And I advise every single parent to do it. It's not expensive, relatively. It's like 6 or 7 quid a month. But that means that you will get warnings or advised if there's any content that you should be concerned about. And at the same time, you don't have to go and sit and look at your child's phone and try and see everything that they're sending, because we don't have the time, we don't necessarily have the inclination, and we want them to have a certain level of privacy, but we also want them to be safe as well. So I think it is about treating it in stages and viewing it as important to talk to our kids about as talking about drugs or sex.
One listener here wondering, can we not WhatsApp the hard shoulder after 5 p.m. today because of the screen blackout? Should I call in on a payphone? I wonder. Do payphones even exist? I wonder. I haven't seen one in a long time. I'll allow you to continue to use WhatsApp if you want to get in touch on 087-1400-106. Alan, how often do you suspect parents are avoiding the conversation around screen time with kids, that maybe because they're not digital natives themselves, they just see kind of screen time full stop as the enemy?
Yeah, I think they do see it as screen time as the enemy. But I think there's a huge, weight of, you know, articles and bits and pieces online that are victimizing young people, especially on their screen time. And we never are certainly held accountable as adults for our screen time, but they're watching us. And what we have to remember is that there is billions and billions of euro or dollars or pounds being put in behind these companies to make the content get our children constantly engaged and constantly engaged. So although they'll make suggestions of, you know, don't spend too much time, but they want you engaged because they're making more money the longer you spend time on there. So what we have to do is only worry about our own little family. And it's something I will constantly say to parents on the courses that I run, is that don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Like when my kids were younger, they didn't get a phone at 8, 9, 10 or 11 years of age, and they were left out a bit by their friends. Guess what? They're both teenagers now. They don't think about that time. They move on, they get their phone, and then they're okay. If there's apps that you don't want your child using, don't let them use it until you feel comfortable. And like we've been saying, it is about that digital literacy, teaching them how to interact online, knowing how to speak to somebody and ask them the question. The two things I'll always say is, would you say to the person's face, and would you be happy with your granny seeing what you've just posted? It's amazing how powerful the granny rule is at getting people to think about,
There's a few adults, Alan, I think, should be mindful of maybe those metrics, those rules to use before they post something. Fiona, I have to say now, when Alan mentioned there about kind of the monkey see, monkey do thing, and that kids a lot of the time are copying their parents. Like, I've been guilty of this. And we don't have phones or anything for the kids yet in our house. They're too young. But like in any house, I know it's coming, the debate and discussion about it. And there's times that I kind of, there's this kind of background noise. And then I realize while I'm doing something on my phone, the background noise is one of the kids asking me something.
Yes, and I am nodding here. The monkey see, monkey do is, it absolutely translates to this particular issue as well. But also that piece about, you know, that Alan talked about, you know, the ages and stages, and as children, you know, move through those, you know, the freedoms can come with them as well. But I think, you know, that piece as well around the regulation of behavior with these technologies is really important as well. So, you know, Alan mentioned there that there's technology in place that can be used in terms of monitoring or putting time limits on different apps, etc. as well. But also as well, you know, engaging with children themselves. And, you know, kind of having that kind of co-relationship, if you want, around the times that they spend on these particular devices, so that they get a certain, or they learn, I suppose, how to have a certain level of autonomy or agency over these devices. Because I suppose, Kieran, sometimes, you know, the uncomfortable reality maybe is that, you know, children and young people, they're going to have to coexist with these technologies. You know, notwithstanding the point that, you know, we still, platforms still need to do better designing them, you know, but they're going to be working in careers and jobs that haven't even been, you know, invented yet, if you want. Mm. So we do need to try to figure out how can we support them so that they can coexist with these technologies in an appropriate way.
Fiona Jennings is Head of Policy and Public Affairs at the ISPCC, and Alan O'Donoghue is a parenting coach and author. Like I say, that Cyber Safe Kids research has been published today to coincide with their campaign calling for people to try and go an hour between 5 and 6 without use of the screen. You can listen to the radio as much as you want.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise Ready AI.